Chapter 3. The Doctrine of the Sacred Heart. Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is not new. It was widely practiced in the Middle Ages, but for the most part was confined to members of the great religious orders, such as the Franciscans, the Dominicans, the Benedictines, and others. In the early 17th century, it was given great impetus by the preaching and writings of St. John Eudes, whom the Roman Breviary calls the founder of the liturgical cult of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. However, in order to firmly establish devotion to the Sacred Heart among Catholic practices of piety and to diffuse it throughout the world, God chose a humble instrument, a visitation nun of the Visitation Monastery at Paray-le-Monial, France. This privileged town lies between Nevers, where the incorrupt body of St. Bernadette is preserved, and Ars, made famous by St. John Vianney, known as the Curé of Ars. Margaret Mary Alacoque was born in Varosfi, a village not far from Paray, in 1647. Her early life was marked by great sufferings, due for the most part to an unhappy family life, and by an unusual devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Despite family opposition, she entered a new religious order founded by St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Frances Chantal. There she took the religious habit in 1671. From 1673 to 1690 took place the numerous apparitions of the Sacred Heart to the humble nun. At first, her reported visions were received with great skepticism by superiors and priests alike, and she had to suffer many humiliations. But the Sacred Heart did not abandon her. He sent his faithful servant and perfect friend, Father Claude de la Colombière, a saintly Jesuit, to guide her and to settle all doubts about the genuineness of the revelations. St. Margaret Mary lived to see the devotion practiced far and wide, and as our Lord had foretold, those who first opposed it became its most zealous promoters. She died in 1690 and was canonized in 1920. Father Colombière was beatified in 1929. Devotion and Doctrine. The better to understand the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home, we must first consider what is meant by devotion and the doctrine of the Sacred Heart. Everyone knows what is intended when we say that a man shows great devotion to his family, or that he is devoted to his wife. The word devotion here signifies true love, generosity, loyalty, and union of hearts. Well, that's what we understand when we say a person has great devotion to the Sacred Heart. We mean that he truly loves our Lord, that he is loyal and generous, that he's united to the Sacred Heart by bonds of love. In one word, he is devoted to the Sacred Heart. But devotion to the Sacred Heart can mean something else. It can signify the cult, the expression of our love for the Sacred Heart. This is the worship of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as he himself requested it and as it is approved by the Church. This is what we have in mind when we say that Catholics practice devotion to the Sacred Heart. Thus, when we speak of devotion to the Sacred Heart, we are not thinking of devotion in the sense of some inclination we have to honor a certain saint or one or another practice of piety, but rather of a doctrinal cult by which we worship the person of Jesus Christ, considered in his heart and all that his heart symbolizes. Devotion to the heart of Jesus, then, is not just another devotion, like devotion to one of the saints. It is not on the same level with any devotion, not even with devotion to the Mother of God. It is the devotion of devotions. It is devotion to the love of Jesus, the incarnate Word of God. It is the devotion of devotions. Every devotional practice approved by the Church is based on a doctrine, a dogma. For instance, the devotion of the rosary is based on the dogma of the divine maternity. If Mary were not the mother of God, we would not be saying the rosary in her honor. So also the practices of piety familiar to all devotees of the Sacred Heart, such as the First Friday Communions of Reparation, the Holy Hour, etc., are based on the dogma, a revealed truth. What is this dogma? God is love. This is the dogma that underlies all dogmas. Every practice of devotion toward the heart of Jesus is nothing else than an expression of these truths. God is love. Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is love. He loves me. I want to love him in return. Devotion to the Sacred Heart, then, is nothing else than love for the person of Jesus, whose infinite love is symbolized by his heart. Or putting it in another way, it is love for the heart of Jesus considered as the symbol of his love for us. The story of God's love. Everyone knows the heart is a symbol of love. When our Lord wanted to remind us of his love, he showed us his heart, his physical heart, as a sign of the great love he has for us. "Behold this heart," he said to Saint Margaret Mary, "which has loved men so much." It was as though he were saying, "See, oh, see how I love you. I am nothing but one great heart. I am all love. From now on, when you see my heart, you will be reminded that I am the God of love. Love me in return with your whole heart." Our Lord's heart is like a summary, a digest of the greatest story ever told, the story of his love for men. Every time we look at a picture or a statue of the Sacred Heart, we should be reminded of this wonderful story. Father Mateo says this story has a prologue, three chapters, and a practical conclusion. The prologue: "I have loved you with an everlasting love." The incarnation: "God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and the Word was made flesh." The passion and death of Jesus: "God so loved the world, he was crucified and died." The Eucharist: "God so loved the world, take and eat. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart." Yes, the heart of Jesus symbolically sums up God's love. It is also a reminder of what he has done for us in the past, what he is doing for us in heaven, in the Eucharist, and in our souls. It is indeed the digest of the story of God's love. No wonder, then, that a French cardinal gave this answer to the question: "Your Eminence, what do you understand by the theology of the Sacred Heart?" "My dogma, he loved me. My moral theology, I must love him in return. This is my entire theology." Sometime, take your catechism or your New Testament, read, and then ask yourself the question, "Why did Jesus do all these things for me?" The answer will be the same for everything: "Because I love you, and only because I love you." What we mean by the Sacred Heart. Mother Louise Margaret, in The Sacred Heart and the Priesthood, expresses the meaning of the phrase "Sacred Heart" very beautifully. God is explained completely and entirely by this word, charity, for love explains everything. Jesus is completely explained by this name, the Sacred Heart. His sublime devotedness, his goodness, his mercy, all his divine virtues, his sacrifice, his death, his love explains all these. The Sacred Heart is divine charity, incarnate, infinite love, humanized. It might be well to point out here the difference between the expression "Sacred Heart of Jesus" and simply "the Sacred Heart." The first considers the heart of Jesus primarily, and only secondarily his person. The second phrase, Sacred Heart, signifies in the first place the person of Jesus and his heart secondarily. For many centuries, in fact, ever since the revelations at Paray-le-Monial in the 17th century, the faithful have had the habit of calling Jesus the Sacred Heart. By this, they mean to focus their attention on Jesus' great love for them. It is as though they said, Jesus loves me, every time they say Sacred Heart. This is most pleasing to Jesus, for the purpose of the revelations at Paray was precisely to get us to concentrate our attention on what it has pleased God to bring to the fore in our religion, namely, the redeeming love of Jesus. Let us develop the habit of referring to our Lord as the Sacred Heart. Just as we go to the Blessed Trinity through the humanity of Jesus, so in a certain sense, we can go to Jesus through his heart. We can take him by the heart. St. Margaret Mary tells us he wishes to make this Sacred Heart, as it were, a second mediator between God and man. Many blessings will come to us from this custom, for we are giving pleasure to Jesus by doing what he wants us to do. The crown, the cross, the flames. We've all seen symbols of our Lord's passion surrounding the image of the heart of Jesus. Around the heart is a crown of thorns. In the heart is a wound. Issuing from the heart are flames. In the midst of the flames is a cross. Do you understand their meaning? I once asked a group of children why on pictures and statues of the Sacred Heart, the crown of thorns is always shown around the heart of Jesus and not around his head. One boy gave a beautiful answer. Our sins hurt Jesus more in his heart than they do in his head. How very true. This is the same explanation our Lord gave to St. Margaret Mary. My divine Savior gave me to understand that these instruments of his passion signified that his immense love for man had been the cause of all his suffering, she said. Jesus also explained the meaning of the cross in the midst of the flames. Many think it simply means that Jesus died on the cross out of love for us. It means this, but more too. Here is what St. Margaret Mary tells us. Quote, the cross signifies that from the very first moment of his incarnation, that is to say, when his Sacred Heart was formed, the cross was planted in it, and from that moment on it was filled with all the bitterness caused by the humiliations, poverty, sorrows, and contempt which his sacred humanity had to suffer during the course of his life and in his passion. Unquote. Therefore, it reminds us of the interior sufferings of Jesus, which he told St. Margaret Mary were greater than all the rest of his sufferings, for he had to undergo them from the first moment of his incarnation. That he is hurt by sin, especially mortal sin. The flames indicate the intensity of Jesus' love for all men. All these symbols, the heart, the thorns, the cross, the wound, the flames, are reminders of his love. See, O see, how much I love you. The Sacred Heart and the Passion. It's easy to see the relation between devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and devotion to the Passion of our Lord. The greatest proof of his love Jesus has given us is his death on the cross. It is quite evident, therefore, that devotion to the Passion of Jesus is one of the principal practices of devotion to his divine heart. Moreover, our Lord made himself very clear on this point when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary. Sometimes he presented himself covered with wounds, and at other times wearing his crown of thorns as he was shown to the people by Pilate. Again, she would see him carrying his cross, as he did on the way to Calvary. Besides this, he revealed to her many secrets of his passion, particularly concerning the mystery of the terrible agony he underwent in the Garden of Olives. He even allowed her to share, in some degree, the frightful sufferings he underwent at that time. Finally, he himself taught her certain practices in honor of his passion, in particular, the holy hour, by which she was to console him for the sufferings and sorrows of his agony. It was to remind us of the motive behind his sufferings and death, his immense love for men, that he showed his heart surrounded by the instruments of his passion. The sight of these symbols should arouse feelings of compassion in us and lead us to make reparation by practices of devotion in honor of the passion, as, for example, the Stations of the Cross, the Holy Hour in church, and night adoration in the home, but especially by striving to love the Sacred Heart generously, by fulfilling our duties and accepting sacrifices in a spirit of reparation. The Sacred Heart and the Eucharist. The first book about devotion to the Sacred Heart, as revealed to St. Margaret Mary, was written by Father Jean Croisset, S.J., at the request of our Lord himself. St. Margaret Mary informed Father Croisset that the Sacred Heart was very pleased with his book, and she wrote, "I believe it is in accord with his wishes." Father Croisset tells us that the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a more warm-hearted and ardent devotion toward Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, its principal motive being the extreme love which he shows us in this sacrament, and the principal object to make reparation for the contempt and the outrages which he suffers in this same sacrament. Nothing could be clearer. Devotion to the heart of Jesus is essentially Eucharistic. Without devotion to the Eucharist, there just isn't any true devotion to the Sacred Heart. This heart is the living symbol of the love that led Jesus to institute the Eucharist. In fact, we can truthfully say that the Eucharist contains the heart of Jesus. His heart is not a picture or a statue, but a living reality, beating out of love for us in the Blessed Sacrament. It is there we will find it. It is there we honor it. It is there, too, that his heart receives so much coldness, indifference, and forgetfulness. Jesus left no doubts about his desire to be honored in the Eucharist when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary. Almost all the many apparitions occurred as she knelt before the tabernacle or at the communion rail. The description she gives of these apparitions almost always begins with words similar to these. "One Friday, after I received our Lord in Holy Communion." Moreover, he clearly stated his wishes in this matter. "I thirst," he said. "I have a burning thirst to be honored by men in the Blessed Sacrament, and I find hardly anyone who endeavors, according to my desires, to quench that thirst by making some return to me." Therefore, practices of devotion to the Eucharist are an essential part of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That is why, when we find someone who truly loves the adorable heart of Jesus, we find a Eucharistic soul. We find that person going to Holy Mass as often as possible, receiving Holy Communion frequently, visiting the Blessed Sacrament every time the opportunity presents itself, and consoling the Eucharistic heart of Jesus by holy hours in church and at home. History proves that as devotion to the loving heart of Jesus developed, so did the love of the faithful for the Eucharist. Jansenism, enemy of the Sacred Heart. When our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary in the last part of the 17th century, a terrible and dangerous heresy was doing untold harm to souls. This heresy, known as Jansenism, taught, among other errors, that God was to be feared rather than loved, that out of respect for him, communion should not be received more than once a year, and then only after long and careful preparation. The results of this teaching, widespread among Catholics of that time, was disastrous. Love for the Eucharist grew cold. Our Lord was for the most part abandoned in the Blessed Sacrament. Daily communion, even among religious, was a rarity. In order to refute this heresy and to give Catholics an antidote, Jesus not only inspired his church to condemn this false teaching, which was done several times in the early 18th century, but also protested personally at Paray-le-Monial. As an answer to this attack on his love, he showed his heart all on fire for love of men, complaining that he was not loved in the Blessed Sacrament, and encouraged all to honor his heart by practicing more ardently devotion to the Eucharist. Since that time, love for the Eucharist has been increasing all over the world. Daily Mass and Communion is a normal thing for countless Catholics, especially since the decree of St. Pius X on frequent communion. Perpetual adoration is increasing by leaps and bounds. Seldom is our Lord alone in city churches during the day, and even during the hours of the night, where formerly he was surrounded only by his angels, thousands of generous sentinels watch with him, not merely in church, but also in homes, as members of night adoration in the home. Look at our churches on a First Friday. One would think it was a Sunday, so great are the crowds that come to Mass and Communion. Recall, too, the magnificent homage paid to our Eucharistic King in Chicago in 1929 during the Eucharistic Congress. Every year, this inspiring tribute to the Blessed Sacrament is repeated in different parts of the world. All this has gone hand in hand with the development of devotion to the Sacred Heart. The Sacred Heart, the way to the Eucharist. Yes, indeed. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is nothing else than a more warm-hearted devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. It has to be. Our Lord planned it that way. Wherever, then, we find families devoted to the Sacred Heart, we should expect to find their parish devoted to the Eucharist. And that's just what we do find. I know of a large city parish that is outstanding for the enormous crowds that flock to the communion rail morning after morning. Visiting priests witnessing this sight for the first time are astonished. The secret? For years the pastor has preached to his people the practice of devotion to the Sacred Heart in their hearts and homes. Each family has enthroned the Sacred Heart in its home. There is a perpetual novena to the Sacred Heart in the crowded church every Sunday afternoon. Close to the church, facing the street, is a beautiful Sacred Heart shrine, symbolizing the spirit of the pastor and his flock. I once heard a bishop say, "Honor the Sacred Heart in your homes, and you will be led to honor him in the Eucharist." How true! This is the answer to those who sometimes minimize devotion to the Sacred Heart in order, they say, to stress devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. Let us not presume to give our Lord a lesson. He made no mistake when he told St. Margaret Mary, kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament at Paray-le-Monial, that he wanted devotion to his Sacred Heart practiced by all Catholics. Foolhardy indeed would be the one who would have dared to whisper to the saint, "Tell him we don't need devotion to the Sacred Heart. What we need is greater devotion to the Eucharist." It was precisely because Jesus was not loved in the Eucharist, because the Mass and Communion were being neglected, because love for the Blessed Sacrament had grown cold, that he demanded the establishment of devotion to his heart. "I am giving men an easy means to love me and love me solidly." Solid love is Eucharistic love. Devotion to the Sacred Heart, says the Sacred Heart and the priesthood, infallibly lead souls to the Holy Eucharist, and faith and devotion to the Holy Eucharist necessarily lead souls to discover the mysteries of infinite love, of which the Divine Heart is the organ and the symbol. The Sacred Heart, the Holy Eucharist, love are one and the same thing. In the tabernacle, we find the host. In the host, Jesus. In Jesus, his heart. In his heart, love, infinite love, divine charity, God, the principle of life. But still more, the ineffable miracle of the Eucharist can be explained only by love. By the love of God, yes, but by the love of Jesus, God and man. Now the love of Jesus is the love of his heart. To sum up all in one word, it is his heart. Thus the Eucharist is explained only by the Sacred Heart. Essential elements of the devotion. According to St. Margaret Mary and her director, Father Crosette, there are as follows: worship of the Sacred Heart. He proposed his heart for worship as the inexhaustible source of all the treasures of love, mercy, and grace, sanctification and salvation for men. He asks that his image be singularly honored. Belief in the merciful love of that heart for all men, and for ourselves in particular, with all our shortcomings. Behold this heart, which has so loved men that it has spared itself nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, to testify to them its love. A generous return of love for Jesus Christ. Our Lord gave me to understand that the great desire which he had of being loved perfectly by men had caused him to form the design of manifesting his heart and of making in these last ages his last effort of his love by proposing an object and a means so proper to induce men to love him and love him solidly. St. Margaret Mary. Reparation. This is the characteristic element of the devotion. Our Lord asks for reparation from his faithful friends, to console him for the coldness and indifference of so many. They are to make communions of reparation, especially on the first Fridays, to make the holy hour, but above all to strive to love him more and more in order to make up for those who do not love him. Special love and reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. I have an ardent desire to be honored by men in the Blessed Sacrament. Means of increasing our love and devotion. Father Crosette enumerates 5 principal means of practicing the devotion: prayer, Holy Mass, frequent communion, visits to the Blessed Sacrament, and the Holy Hour. Prayer. In his book, The Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Father Crosette had this to say about prayer. The first means to obtain a tender devotion to the Sacred Heart is prayer. There is nothing to which Jesus Christ has so solemnly pledged himself as to hear our prayers. But of all prayers, there is none so agreeable to him as that by which we ask for his love. He has bound himself strictly to grant this love to all those who ask for it. But even if he had not bound himself to grant this love, this request for his love would bind him to grant it. Jesus Christ has done all that we can imagine, even more than we could imagine, to induce us to love him. It depends on him to grant us this love. Dare we think he will refuse it to us if we ask it of him? But it must be that this love is little esteemed, since it is asked for so little. You're astonished that you do not love Jesus ardently, but you should be still more astonished if you loved him without praying for his love, since it is the greatest of all God's gifts. Of all the means for obtaining the love of Jesus Christ, there is none more efficacious than prayer, and none easier. Ask and you shall receive. If you ask, you're sure to be heard. An efficacious prayer to ask for an increase of love for the Sacred Heart is, Sweetest Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love thee more, evermore and more. This was one of the favorite prayers of St. Pius X. Sweetest Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love thee evermore and more. Holy Mass. Since devotion to the Sacred Heart is nothing else than a more warm-hearted devotion to the Eucharist, it follows that love for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass should occupy the first place in our practice of devotion to the Sacred Heart. Here's what Father Mateo writes on this subject. I am preaching the reign of the Sacred Heart, but the reign of the Sacred Heart presupposes an enlightened piety, a full appreciation of what the Mass is. There is a scale of values in the spiritual life as in everything else, and in the very first place should come the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Holy Mass is the fountain. Holy Communion is the torrent. First the sacrifice, then completing the sacrifice is Holy Communion. This is the foundation of the enthronement. This is the obsession of my life, because I am preaching the reign of the Sacred Heart. Yes, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is without doubt the best means of showing our love for the Sacred Heart, as it is our Lord's best way of proving His love for us. That's why whenever we find a true friend of the Sacred Heart, we are sure to find a lover of the Mass. And whenever we find one who loves the Mass, you may be sure this person is a friend of the Sacred Heart. It is the Mass that makes possible the presence of the Heart of Jesus in the host. And the Heart of Jesus is in the host only in view of the Mass. He is there as a victim, His heart offering continuous acts of sacrifice, adoration, reparation, thanksgiving, and petition to His Heavenly Father. The Mass is the throne of grace, the means God has established to pour out on men the treasures of love contained in the Sacred Heart of His Divine Son. Frequent communion. The third means to acquire this perfect love is the frequent reception of the sacraments, especially frequent communion. There is no better way to become inflamed with love for the Sacred Heart than by receiving Him often, daily if possible, in the sacrament of His love. It is not possible to carry fire in one's heart and not be inflamed by it. Divine love has lit a great furnace on our altars in the adorable sacrament of the Eucharist. And it is by approaching this sacred fire that all the saints have been inflamed by a most ardent and tender love for Jesus. Those who with proper dispositions receive Holy Communion daily or frequently experience the admirable effects of frequent communion. They love Jesus Christ more and more. Their love increases in the measure in which they nourish themselves often with this bread of angels. Visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Again, we quote Father Crosset, friendship is preserved and increased among men by frequent visits and conversations. It is by this means that we shall gain and increase the friendship of Jesus Christ. As His object in remaining on our altars is to be continually with us, judge what must be His sentiments of affection for those whom He sees often with Him. There's nothing that gains the heart of Jesus more than frequent visits and frequent acts of adoration in His presence. It is usually at this time that He pours out His graces in greater abundance. And it may be said that of all His gifts and favors which He gives at these visits, the most usual is the incomparable gift of His love. These are visits of courtesy, and there are visits of pure love. If a person is wanting in paying visits of courtesy, it is a fault. But it is on the occasions of visits of pure love that singular favors are conferred. The days of the great feasts, holy days of obligation, and the time of Sunday Mass are, with regard to Jesus, visits of duty and courtesy, such as are paid to the great ones of this world. A person is remarked if not found with the crowd, but the visits which are made at certain hours of the day, when Jesus Christ is rarely visited, and when the greater part of the people forget Him, are visits of friends. It is at those times, more than any others, that Jesus Christ converses more familiarly with his favorites, that he communicates himself more intimately to them, that he opens to them his sacred heart and pours out on them the treasures of his grace by inflaming them with his divine love. And whether it be that the indifference of those who forget him at those times renders more precious the fidelity of those who visit him, it is a fact that all the saints have experienced that there is no more infallible way of obtaining in a short time this great love of Jesus Christ than to visit him often in the churches, especially at those hours of the day when he's honored so little and visited so rarely. The Holy Hour. Experience proves that those who make the Holy Hour, whether before the Blessed Sacrament or at home, inevitably grow in love for the Sacred Heart. And what could be more natural? It was our Lord himself who requested generous souls to watch 1 hour with him. The first privileged friends to make it with him in the Garden of Olives were Peter, James, and John. 1,600 years later, he invited St. Margaret Mary to rise at night to console him. Here are his words: "Every Thursday night I will make you partake of that sorrow unto death, which it was my will to suffer in the Garden of Olives. To join with me in this humble prayer which I then offered to my Father, you shall rise between 11 o'clock and midnight. You shall prostrate yourself with me for 1 hour, both to appease the anger of God by imploring mercy for sinners, and to sweeten in some way the bitterness I felt when my apostles abandoned me, being unable to watch 1 hour with me." The generous sacrifice of an hour of one's sleep is richly rewarded, not only by remarkable conversions, especially in one's own family, but also by an increase of love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a sufficient reward for anyone who calls himself our Lord's friend. Blessed Claude de la Colombière, S.J. Claude de la Colombière was born at St. Symphorien, France, February 2, 1641. He entered the Society of Jesus in 1658 and was ordained April 6, 1669. In 1675, he was appointed rector of the Jesuit house in the little town of Paray-le-Monial. There he also became the spiritual director and confidant of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and an unflagging apostle of the Sacred Heart. Margaret Mary had suffered much because of misunderstanding, but had been comforted by our Lord with the words, "I will send you my faithful servant and perfect friend, who will teach you to know me and to abandon yourself to me." When Claude gave his first exhortation to the nuns of her convent, our Lord said to Margaret Mary, "This is he whom I am sending you." In 1676, Claude was sent to England as chaplain to the Catholic Duchess of York. At the time, England was in the grip of a violent anti-Catholic persecution, and eventually Claude was arrested, imprisoned briefly, and then banished from the kingdom. He arrived in France in January 1679, his health shattered. He died of tuberculosis in Paray-le-Monial February 15, 1682. After Claude's death, St. Margaret Mary prayed to him with great confidence. To a priest, she wrote, "You must turn to his faithful friend, the good Father de la Colombière, to whom God has given great power, and to whom he has entrusted, so to say, all that concerns this devotion to the Sacred Heart. I confess to you confidently that I have received great help from him." A letter, the Secretariat of State of His Holiness, the Vatican City, January 21, 1952. Reverend and dear Father Larkin. The Sovereign Pontiff has learned with pleasure of the forthcoming national movement to be promoted by the work of the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home, in order that every American home may possess an honor and image of the Sacred Heart of our Redeemer. The Holy Father trusts and prays that this laudable initiative may be blessed with spiritual success, and that the veneration of the Sacred Heart as the symbol of the Savior's love for all men may call down abundant graces from heaven upon the families of all who will accept and honor it in their homes. May those men of goodwill, including particularly those of the colored race, who consent in the spirit of religion and faith thus to honor divine love, experience in themselves the fulfillment of our Lord's promise to bless every home in which the image of His Sacred Heart would be exposed and venerated. With this prayer, His Holiness gladly imparts to you, Reverend Father, and to all those associated with you in this praiseworthy enterprise, His apostolic benediction. I remain, with sentiments of esteem, sincerely yours in Christ, J.B. Montini. Now, a footnote to this letter: the movement referred to by His Holiness was a campaign launched to distribute 1 million Sacred Heart pictures to non-Catholic colored Americans. Tarsesians paid for the pictures with sacrifice money and earned golden pennies for the conversion of colored in the county assigned to them.